Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
This weekend, I had the honor and privilege to be able to run in another obstacle course, mud run kind of race. But this time I got to do it with my dad, which I've done that before, but also with my son. So this is the first time all three generations got to run together, and we had so much fun this weekend. It was a savage race. It was a lot of fun. I wish I could have had the picture up here, but they didn't post them yet. But actually, during this race, one of the cool things that they did that I've never done before was they had this big trailer, like a tractor trailer kind of trailer, but it was one of the refrigerated kind. And in that trailer, they had bags of ice, and they had a little pool next to it with a wall in the middle, and you had to climb up some stairs, get in the water, and go under the wall and out of the back side of it. The problem is, the whole time that people are running this race, they are taking bags of ice out of that trailer and dumping them in that pool of water. And so it was just ice everywhere, it was super cold. And so as we're going up to the pool, as we're getting ready to get there, I look over at my dad and my son. I said, "Now listen, guys, here's the deal. When you hit that water, you need to not think about it. Just hit the water, go under the wall, you know, swim to the other side, get out as fast as you can. Just don't even think about it. Otherwise, you'll freeze up." And so we get up there, and my dad is, however old my dad is, he's older than me. I guess he's 68? 67. You'll be 68 this year. You'll be 68 in like 3 days, yeah. So he's about to be 68 years old. My dad hits that water, y'all, and it was like the Flash. I mean, he hit the water. He was out on the other side waiting on us, you know. And so G2 and I get up there, and I'm going to be, you know, the brave man. I just watched my old dad do this, and now I'm going to be the, you know, the middle-aged guy that's going to do this and show my son how brave and cool I am. And guys, I hit that water, and every muscle in my body locked up. I mean, I just went, and Gabriel was laughing at me because I couldn't even breathe. I was going, and I got to the wall, and I said, "We got to go under the wall, you know." So I finally got the guts up to go under the wall just because I was dying. My body began to shut down. All my internal organs stopped. And so I finally got under the wall and went on to the other side. And my dad is out there just, "That makes me feel so good." And I'm going, yeah, me too. Yeah, I feel great, you know. So I've come to the conclusion that the older you get, you just don't have any feeling in your body. And you can do stuff like that. And I can't wait till that day. That has nothing to do with the message, but I just thought you'd enjoy it. So we are glad to have my mother and my father with us today. We're always glad to have them with us. But today we're going to continue our series called, some people clap for you, Mom, not many. We're going to continue our series called 10 Steps Towards Christ. And, you know, this whole series, the whole idea, I think a lot of times we read over stuff too fast and we don't think about the meaning of things too often. So even the idea of 10 steps toward Christ, the idea is that I want to get closer to Him, not just closer to Him in proximity, but closer to Him as far as how my life looks and lives, right? Like, I want to be close to Him as far as the image that I portray, the image that I am, who I am. I want to be like Christ. And so this whole series, for some of us, this is kind of basic stuff. Some people are saying, "Well, I know all this stuff." It doesn't matter if you know it. It matters if you live it, right? And so that's why we're kind of going back through this stuff to make sure our foundations are right. And so the first week we talked about being born again. What does that mean? We talked about water baptism and communion. We talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about being together and the importance of us being together, coming together in fellowship, coming together and enjoying each other's company and family. And that's really important. I need to get into today's word, but let me just tell you something. I've heard people say before that they've been to a church and it was a very nice church, it was a very kind church, but it was a church that was very hard to get involved in because there wasn't that same family atmosphere. You could come in and people will greet you in the parking lot, they'll greet you at the door, they'll greet you and put you in your seat, and then that's about the last time you hear from somebody. As Christians, We've got to create opportunities for us to come together. And it can't always be on Sunday morning in big church. We've got to create those opportunities outside of big church. That's why we'll have family days. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have stuff where we try to get people together in relationship. Why? Because that's how we grow in Christ. That's how we get closer to Christ, right? Also because He did that. But today we want to talk about how to know God through His Word. And I feel like this is important. This is one of those things that for me, it's really close to my heart. So next week we'll talk about prayer. Prayer is not my specialty. I'm not great at praying. So next week when I preach that message, it's going to be a lot about, like I'm going to be receiving a lot. You know what I mean? Today I want to be giving out a lot because God's Word is something that's very close to my heart. I believe in knowing somebody through their Word. I believe in it. As a matter of fact, look at Hebrews chapter 4. This is going to be the main text. We'll read it three times. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We'll read it in three different versions. The first version is the New Living Translation. It says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Another translation, the New International Version, says this, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And then the last translation is the Passion Translation. It says, "For we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts." What I want to do today for the next few minutes is I want us to dissect that verse. So you can leave it up for just a second. I want to dissect that verse because really that verse hits us in three different ways. It's going to tell us, first of all, that we have a living Word of God, that God's Word is alive. It also says that it's active, it's powerful, it's full of energy. And then it says that it's sharp. And so today we want to talk about those three areas, that God's Word is alive and active and sharp. Those are the three things we want to talk about. So first, let's look at God's Word is living. Look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says this, "In the beginning was the Word," and notice that it's capitalized there. It's capitalized there. So that means it's not just a regular old noun word. It's a pronoun, a proper noun. A proper noun, that means that it's a big deal. My son is in 7th grade, and he brings home all this English homework. And we tell him all the time, if you need help with math, you come to Dad. If you need help with English, you go to Mom. And the other night, they were doing homework together, English homework. And Perry said, "I can't do this. I can't do this." And I looked over, and Gabriel is not even doing his own homework. She was doing his homework, Jonathan. Reminds me a lot of your mama. She's doing the homework. She looks at me and says, "I can't do it." I said, "Because you're not in 7th grade and I'm not in 7th grade. And these grades don't matter to me. It only matters to him. So I'm not doing it either." So after about 30 minutes of me trying to figure out what an adverb was, we gave up. Just said, "Fail the test. I don't care." In the beginning was the Word. That means this is somebody we're talking about, not just something we're talking about. In the beginning was the Word. It says the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So who was the Word? The Word was God. The Word is God. Now, John is talking about somebody specific here. He's talking about Jesus, and he says He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. Now, let me pause. How was everything created? God spoke everything into existence. With what? With words. Who did He speak those words through? Through Jesus. He spoke through Jesus, everything into existence. It says God created everything through Him and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. That's good right there. Because there's some of you today, you came in here discouraged and depressed and lonely and upset. You came in here mad today. You came in here bitter today. You came in here holding some unforgiveness in you today. You came in here with some kind of sickness or disease in your mind or in your body, and you're hurting today, and you feel like you've got death in you today. But let me tell you something. It is the Word that gives life to everything. And His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Some versions say, understand it. That's why so many people don't understand Christians today. They don't understand the Word of God today. It doesn't make any sense to them. It's kind of like whenever I get up in the mornings and I go to wake up my son to come to church. We come to church very early in the morning. The sun's not up yet. It's dark outside. And so I go in his room, and in an attempt to try to be nice, I turn on a flashlight on my phone instead of turning on the overhead light. But sometimes I forget that the flashlight's on, and I shine it right in his eyeballs when he's waking up. I'm pretty sure it's on accident most of the time. And he gives you that look. You know that look when that light shines in your eye and you're just like... And that's how the world looks at us a lot of times. That's how the world looks at God's Word. And they say, how can you base your life on God's Word? Because, first of all, they don't believe it's God's Word. They believe it's a bunch of stories. But what I want to tell you today is it may be a bunch of stories, but it's a bunch of stories about God. It's a bunch of stories that are Jesus. He is the story. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word. And because the Word is alive, when we spend time with it, we spend time with Him. You know, the thing about it is, it's important for you to understand that whenever you spend time with somebody, eventually their true self is revealed. Have you ever met that person before that you thought they were awesome on first impression? Like your very first impression of them, you're like, man, this person is great. I've got to hang out more with this person. And then you start hanging out with them, and you start hanging out with them. And the first time y'all hang out, y'all go out to eat. Everything's cool. Everything's great. And then the next time y'all hang out, y'all go out to eat. Everything's cool and everything's great. And then he's like, hey, man, why don't you come over to my house, watch a movie? And then you go over to his house and realize it's full of a bunch of snakes. Or you get to his house and he says, can I take your socks? And he's sniffing them. Eventually, the more time you spend with somebody, y'all think that's funny because it's one of y'all I'm talking about. And eventually, the more time you spend with somebody, the more their true nature is revealed, right? The more their true nature is revealed. There's been plenty of times I've met people before and I've thought, man, this is a cool person or a cool family to hang out with. And next thing I know, like, they're just like stalking us. You know what I mean? Like, I go to open my front door and there they are, you know, and I didn't even invite them over. My neighbor's kids are funny. I hope they listen to this. My neighbor's kids are funny because they love my kids. But we will go outside some mornings to take out the trash, and I'll look over, and my neighbor's youngest son will be peering through the windows of his house, looking across the street just to see if we're home and walking around. And then it makes me wonder how long has he been looking at my house, and what all has he seen? You know, it's like, we got to close our windows, you know, put some boards up or something. But you see, the more you're with somebody, it doesn't matter what that first impression is like, their true nature is revealed. There's also people sometimes that you meet them on the first time and you think, ooh, I don't know if I like that guy. I don't know if I like that girl. But the more you hang out with them, the more their true nature is revealed and you realize they are really good. And you need to spend more time with them. That needs to be your very best friend. Well, the same thing happens with God's Word. The more we spend time with God, the more we spend time with His Word, the more we're spending time with Jesus. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more His nature is revealed to us through His Word. So here's a couple of things. Like God's Word reveals His character. So if you're taking notes this morning, God's Word reveals His character. And all you got to do is look back into the Old Testament, and you're going to see how God's character is revealed. Yeah, but Pastor, there's a lot of murder and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of wars. And is that God's character? Is God a God of war? Well, at times He has to be. At times He has to be. But if you just look at something as simple as the Ten Commandments, look at some of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, don't look at them as a law. Look at them as a reflection of God's character. Think about it for a second. What are some of the Ten Commandments? Honor your father and mother. Why is that in there? It's in there because God is all about family. His character is about family. As a matter of fact, even when God created the earth and he created man, he said, let us create man in our image. He speaks to the Trinity like a family. In other words, God is all about family, and he's all about honor, and he's all about authority. And he just says, hey, there's got to be a level of respect and honor because that's who I am. And so therefore, that's what I want in you. It's his character. The Bible says, do not murder. One of the Ten Commandments, do not murder. Why does it say that? It doesn't say that because he doesn't want you to go out and murder. It says that because his character is a God of love. And in his character, there's an order to taking life. There's a time for life to be taken. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. But it's not up to us to decide that. It's up to him. And he's showing you a little bit of his character. It says, do not steal. Why does it say do not steal? It says that because God is a God of generosity and giving. The Bible says he gave his only son so that you and I could live. He's a God that gives. Therefore, he doesn't want you in the habit of taking. Because it's his character. It's his character. So we need to understand that God's word will always reveal his character. If you're ever wondering what God thinks about something, check out his character. Go to his word. There are plenty of times. And next week we'll talk about prayer, and I'll probably contradict myself. But there are plenty of times when I feel like, when I need to know, what does God think on this matter? And instead of just praying about it, which I do, I go to his word, and I try to find his character on that same situation or similar situation. Because at the end of the day, when I pray, sometimes I hear myself think, not God think. But when I read his word, it's always him. It's never me. Because that word is tried and true. So God's word reveals his character. God's word reveals his heart. And I could boil his heart down to two things. God loves man and God hates sin. He loves man and he hates sin. You know, I can imagine that whenever God had to remove Adam and Eve from the garden, it had to have broken his heart. Why? Because he loves man, but he hates sin. And he can't tolerate sin, but he loves man. Throughout the Bible, we see this over and over and over again. God says to, I'm reading through the, in my Old Testament reading right now, it's going through some of the prophets. And so a lot of times the prophets are, unfortunately, they don't say a lot of good stuff. You know, they're talking to Israel and they're talking to Judah and they're like, hey, the Babylonians are coming. They're going to take you away. They're going to kill your kids. They're going to take all your land. I mean, they're never saying a whole lot of good stuff. And they're always saying, this is because you keep sinning. This is because you keep worshiping idols. This is because you keep doing this bad stuff. But then they always come back with, but God loves you, and if you'll turn back to him, he'll bring life back to your land. And he loves you, and he'll bring all your people back. There's a festival I've been reading about a little bit lately called the Festival of Ingathering. It was a harvest festival. It was a festival of booths, right? They made these little shacks. That has nothing to do with this, but it's just cool. But the idea of, I was reading the other day, he talking about the festival in gathering and how not only is that a festival of harvest, of gathering in wheat and grain and agricultural things, but it was a festival of gathering in people that God says, look, I know I've scattered you because I had to punish you, because I had to remove sin from you. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to bring you all back in together. Right. Because you're my family and I love you and you're my heart. He goes to extreme measures to make sure that he's showing man love. And he's showing sin hatred. He says, I'll go to the extreme measure of sending my own son. Why? Because I love the world and I hate sin. And if my son has to die to show man that I love him and to conquer sin forever, then that's exactly what has to happen. So his heart is always revealed. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you need to listen to this today because you don't understand the heart of God. Some people only understand one side of his heart. Some people only understand that God loves man. And so therefore they can do whatever the heck they want to do and get away with it. Why? Because God loves them. Well, God is love and God will never punish me. God will never discipline me. Because God is love. And some people only view God as hatred of sin. And they never understand the fact that God loves them. And so they're always thinking, God's always after me. He's always going to hurt me. He's always going to punish me. And no matter what I do, I can never live up to the standard that God sets. But you got to have both sides. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The fact is, God's got plans for you today. His heart is for you today. He's got a plan for your life. He doesn't have a plan to destroy you. He's got a plan for your hope and your future. Now, you can choose another plan. You can choose another path. That's always up to us. But He says, "I know the plans I've got for you. What plans do you have?" Right? I know what I've got for you. So you need to hear that today, that God's Word always reveals His heart. The other thing that it says in there is, it says in Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so we want to talk about God's Word being powerful today. That word powerful, when you look it up, it means powerful, it means active, it means full of energy, it means productive, and it means effective. Now, when my parents come to visit at our house, we don't do a whole lot of sugar. As a matter of fact, Jim McChesney tries to give my kids sugar all the time, and we find every excuse to throw it away when they're not looking. I mean, it's just like we try not to too much, you know, and so we'll take all that candy and put it in a jar and hide it on a shelf. And then when my kids are like, "Where's the candy?" I'm like, "I don't know where it is," you know, so we don't lie a lot, but just a little bit. And so in our house, we try to stay away from sugar too much. But when my parents come to visit, inevitably, they will take my kids to the store and they will buy my kids candy. And the other night we went to the store. And we're checking out. And I know it's going to happen. And I'm okay with it. And so I know it's going to happen. And so my kids come in and I'm thinking they're going to get, like, you know, a bag of Skittles. Right? Or they're going to get a pack of gum. Colt comes in with a 5-pound bag of gummy bears. And immediately I put my foot down. I was like, "There is no way you're getting that. You can get a 1-pound bag, but not a 5-pound bag, you know, because I'm going to eat those things too." And so Colt goes back and he comes. So they're coming in with all this candy. Well, that night we're getting ready to go to bed because we're going to get up the next morning and we got to drive 2.5 hours to this race and we got to be there early. And so all this kind of stuff. So I'm like, "I'm ready to go to bed." And I look around and I see this flash of white. And it just keeps flashing. I'm like, "Is there lightning in the house? Like, what's happening?" And it's Colt. He is literally running from room to room. And our house isn't that big. And he's running from room to room with no agenda at all, except he has got so much energy, he doesn't know what to do with himself. And he's like, and he's jumping on the couch, and he's flying on things. And I'm like, "What is going on?" And I grabbed him. I'm like, "Dude, I know you're pumped up full of sugar right now. I get it. But I'm going to have to break your legs so you won't run around this house anymore. I got to go to bed." So we did our nighttime prayers and I prayed, "God bless them and, you know, give them sweet dreams and good rest. And please, please help Colt burn all that sugar out of his body right now so he can go to sleep." God love him. He lays in bed and just, "I can't go to sleep, Dad." I'm like, "Yeah, no joke. You're like a crackhead on sugar, you know?" The thing is, that's how God's Word is. God's Word is constantly in motion in our life. Now, some of you may say, "Yeah, but God's Word doesn't work for me," because you haven't put God's Word into your life. Like, sugar doesn't work for me either, as long as it's sitting in the bag. But when I open the bag and I eat it, all of a sudden it begins to do things in me. The more we consume God's Word, the more it begins to do stuff in us. It goes into constant motion in our life. And just a couple of things. I really wish I had a whole series to do on this. I will do it later probably. But a couple of things that God's Word is constantly doing. His Word is always guiding us. His Word is always guiding us. God's Word wants to reveal His will for your life. Psalm 119, 105. "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." God's Word always answers the question, "What do you want me to do?" This is a question husbands have been asking their wives since Adam and Eve. "What do you want me to do? I can't read your mind." Thankfully, God's Word lays it all out for us. All we got to do is read it. If there's ever a question in your life if something is right or wrong, look in God's Word and ask Him to reveal His will to you. And I promise you, He will reveal it to you. He will reveal it to you. There's been a lot of times in my life, I've talked to people before and they said, "Well, should I do this or should I do that?" And I said, "Well, what does God's Word say about it?" God's Word always reveals His will
for your life. The second thing His Word is always doing, His Word is always healing us. Psalm 107:20, He sent out His Word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Something that's been on our heart lately, my wife and I, only because we've been dealing with different areas of this and seeing it in our families and seeing it in our friends and seeing it in other places. But this whole idea of being discouraged, just being down, just feeling anxious or out of place, just this feeling that we're getting, and we see this honestly. Like this is a point of prayer. A month or two ago, I probably had five or six people that I either know directly or indirectly that were dealing with this. One, we even know of a person that committed suicide. And it's just this whole issue going on right now. And I told our prayer team the other day, I said, we've got to be praying about this because this is something that's in our church, it's in our community, it's in our nation. And we've got to be praying about this. We've got to be seeking God's will about this and what He wants to do. And I came across this verse that He sent His Word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. And in some translations, that phrase door of death there means from our destructions, from the things that are causing death in us. It's not just that His Word heals us. It's that His Word is healing us. It's like being healed from the inside out. Have you ever put a... Have you ever drank Alka-Seltzer before? Right? Like if you had the tablet and you drop it in the water, it's the most amazing thing. I love to drink Alka-Seltzer just to watch this. You know, I'm easily amused. And so you drop that and it begins to bubble and it begins, something's happening from the inside. It begins changing the water from the inside. And when God's Word is deposited in our life, it begins a healing process from the inside. And He begins to cure and heal. Look, I could care less. I could care less about cancer or knee pain or back pain or headaches or whatever sickness. Because at the end of the day, you can die and you will go to heaven. But whenever you struggle with something that is an internal emotional sickness, that's hard to recover from. That you can't take just medicine and just fix that. My dad and I were talking about a situation that he and I have been dealing with for a long time. And I was telling him, I said, you know, I understand addiction and I understand all this other stuff. And all of that stuff, all of that external sin stuff can be dealt with. But I said, I feel like with this person, there's an area of the heart that is broken and is damaged and is hurt and has sickness in it. And we can try to fix the outside stuff all we want. But until God brings healing to that area of the heart, nothing else even matters at this point. That's the most important thing. That's the top priority. God wants to heal some of us in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. His Word brings life. What did John say? And the Word brought life to everyone. His Word wants to bring life to you today. His Word wants to bring... It changes the way we think. The Bible talks about renewing our mind. The more we consume the Word of God, the more we know not only His will, not only His heart, but His heart and His will for us individually. I was telling my dad this in that same conversation. I said, you know, for a long time, I never understood that God loved me. I remember at 18 years old, the day that I realized, this sounds so stupid for someone that's been raised in church their whole life, but I remember at 18 years old, the day I realized that God actually loved me no matter what. And it was life-changing. I'm not saying that I'd stopped doing every sin. I'm not saying that all of a sudden I was a perfect person. No, I still had struggles. I still had issues. But instead of going through life with this legalistic, rigid, rule-setting kind of mindset that God has a hammer ready to crush me, I went through life knowing that God loved me. And now all of a sudden, I didn't want to sin, not because I felt like I was going to get punished. I didn't want to sin because now I knew God's heart. And I didn't want to hurt His heart. I didn't want to disappoint Him. My dad, when I was growing up, didn't have to spank me a lot because I was really good. And he had me late in life. And so he didn't... He was old and tired, you know, like,
kind of like I am with Colt. It's like I just get old and tired, and it's like Gabriel gets punished for everything, and Colt's just like, yeah, run around naked, I don't care. You know, I'm tired, I'm ready to go to bed, you know? And so I remember one time I just screwed up really bad. Like, I really messed up. And I remember my dad looking at me, and I said, you know, hey, are we going to go upstairs? Am I getting a spanking? Like, are you about to? At that point in my life, I was old enough to where it wasn't a spanking anymore. You know, it is a whooping. And so I said, you know, is that what's about to happen? And my dad was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just really disappointed in you. And it killed me. I was like, please spank me. Please spank me. Because if you spank me, it's over. Like, in 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes, I don't care. It's over. Eventually, the pain will go away. But don't be disappointed in me. Whenever I realized that God loved me, it wasn't about punishment anymore. It was about I've got a relationship with somebody that I just don't want to disappoint. And so, yeah, did I sin? Of course I did. But it changed my whole view on it. And now I repent quickly. Why? Because I don't want to leave him disappointed. Because I love him and he loves me. Right. So it's important for you to hear today that God's word wants to heal you today. How does he heal me? He heals me by revealing his heart and his will. He heals me by showing me how much he loves me in his word. Right. He heals me by showing me who I am in him. It's important to see that. The last thing is this: God's word is sharp. God's word is sharp. In Hebrews 4, 12 at the end, it says, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. His word is sharp like a scalpel. Sharp like a, I don't know if you've ever used a scalpel before, but those bad boys are sharp, right? They will slice you open. But here's the thing. Scalpels are used for a specific reason. Scalpels are used to bring healing to people's lives, to make changes in people's lives. They cut you. They cut things away from you. Scalpels are an important part of a doctor's instruments. It's important what some stuff he uses. He's got to have a scalpel. And God uses his word like a scalpel in our life. He takes his word and he begins to cut away things in our life. He begins to divide things in our life. There are times in your life when you don't know if it's you or if it's God. And whenever you go to God's word, he begins to divide that thought. He begins to divide that motive. He begins to divide that intention. And he says, in his word, he shows us what's me and what's God. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, it's living. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We've got to have God's word cutting things away in our life. We've got to have God's word doing surgery in our hearts. Listen, you don't want to go through life. We're doing 10 steps toward Christ, not 10 steps to stay the same. I can't be closer to Christ like I am right now. I'm not saying that as a rhetorical statement. I'm saying that as a literal statement of how I feel, Gabriel Wright, at this point in time. I cannot be closer to Christ the way I am. There are things in me that I know about that God reveals to me that need to change. And where I find help and healing and discernment for those things is in his word. He begins to show me scriptures, and sometimes I have to read the same scripture over and over and over again until it finally clicks and I start living it out. But that's what his word is for. That's what his word is for. The last thing is this. It's sharp like a sword. Ephesians 6:17 says, put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is a weapon. The Bible says that Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, every time Satan came to him with a specific temptation, Jesus always came back at him with the word of God. As a matter of fact, Satan came to him the very first time and said, turn these stones into bread so you can eat. And Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I love that because it shows us that our life isn't just given to us by what we eat or what we do, but life comes to us through his word. And if you're not consuming his word today, you're missing opportunity for life and healing and wholeness and peace You're missing opportunities for God to speak to you. Some of you say, God never talks to me. Give Him the chance.
Look, I'm telling you, like I said this before, prayer is not always my best. So the way I pray oftentimes has to do with the Word of God. I have to use God's Word in order to help me pray. So I pray and I have to read. And I pray and I have to read. There are times with God's Word, I just feel like, man, I've just got to get His Word in me like a seed that will produce fruit. And there are some days when I'll wake up. There's some mornings I'll wake up to get ready to go to the gym and go to work. And this may sound really dumb and unspiritual to some of you, but I'll wake up at 3:30 to eat breakfast because I'm weird and I got to have breakfast a certain amount of time before I work out. And so I wake up at 3:30 and I fix my breakfast and I eat my breakfast real fast. And then I go lay on the couch and I get my Bible, my phone out with my Bible app on it. And you know, there's a part of me that wants to just go straight to sleep. There's a part of me that wants to turn on the TV. There's a part of me that wants to do other stuff. But instead, I know that at 4:30 is whenever Perry has to get up, and that's when we have to get ready to go to the gym. And so from the time I finish eating until 4:30, I just listen to the Word of God. And sometimes I doze off, but I would rather doze off to the Word of God than doze off to TV. I'd rather doze off to the Word of God than doze off to some other music, to some radio station. I'd rather doze off to the Word of God. But sometimes I stay awake and I'll listen to His Word. And then there's times when something will hit me and I'll think, oh man, I gotta bookmark that one. And I'll come back to it later and I'll listen to that same chapter again. I'll listen to it again. Why? Because I'm trying to sow seeds into my life that will change me. It's like the Alka-Seltzer. I'm trying to put as much in me as I can to change who I am because I need to hear from God. I need to know His character. I need to know His will. I need healing in my life too. And I've got to put the Word of God in my life. The last little thing, this was just kind of a side note, but something I felt like was important to say today. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is talking to husbands, and he's trying to explain to husbands how to love their wives. And so he begins to tell them, you got to love your wife like Christ loves the church, and he's showing them all this stuff. And then he throws in this verse that doesn't make a lot of sense at first. But verse 26 says, and you got to love your wife like Christ loves the church. And he says, and how he, to make her holy and clean, he washed her by the cleansing of God's word. And I read that and I thought, what in the world is that talking about? Because I can get it that God's word washes us and cleanses us. Right? When we hear the presentation of the gospel, when we hear what Christ did for us, when we hear about God's love for man and His hatred of sin, it begins to change who we are and it helps us, leads us to salvation. I get it. It cleanses us. But what does that have to do with your wife? Like, how do I wash my wife with God's word? Like, that doesn't make sense. And I thought, well, maybe Paul is just doing something spiritual here. It's not really for me. But then I studied it and I read through it again. I read through it again. I prayed about it. And I realized there's times in my life, and it's not just about your spouse. Sometimes it can be about your kids. It can be about your brother or your sister. It can be about your coworker. It can be about anybody. There's times in our lives when Perry might be struggling with something as my wife. She might be dealing with something. I'm going to be real with you. I don't have all the right words to pray over her. We talked 2 weeks ago about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He gives us prayer language because I wouldn't know what to pray over. But even in prayer language, she doesn't even know what I'm praying. So it's not as effective if I'm praying for her. So what do? I have to go back to His Word. And if she's dealing with something, then I've got to wash her, cleanse her, heal her. With what? With the Word of God. And I just begin to speak the Word of God over my wife. The other night she said, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, babe, but I already started now. But the other night she said, man, I'm just dealing with this issue. And it wasn't anything. She said, I don't even know what it is. She said, in my heart, something just feels heavy. Something's going on and I don't know what it is. She said, will you pray with me about it? And I said, I definitely will. And I began to pray over her. And again, I didn't know what to pray. So I began to speak God's word over her. I began to tell her that,
that His peace passes all of our understanding. I began to tell her that He's got His peace, His Spirit will cover us and guard our hearts and our minds, that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but in everything we can go to Him in prayer. I began to talk to her and begin to speak God's Word over her life. There's some of you men need to step up and be the man of your house, first of all, and speak God's Word over your family and over your wife. If you're the man of the house and you're not the most spiritual person in the house, then something's wrong. You need to step up. Step up your game, fellas. We need to lead by example. And part of the way we lead is we speak God's Word over our family. We speak God's Word over our life. There's some of you, you're struggling with the boss right now, and you're just tired of this boss, and he's just a jackleg, and he, you know, you're wishing he'd get fired. You know what? What if you just took a day, and instead of saying bad things about him, you just spoke God's Word over his life, everything that you felt he needed. Some of you've got a kid that's not serving God, and you've been real wishy-washy about that kid, and you let that kid get away with a lot of stuff. But you know what? What if you spoke God's truth over that kid's life? And you spoke God's love over him and God's hatred of sin over him, and you just believe that God's going to do a work in him because you're speaking God's Word over him. What if you washed him and cleansed him with God's Word? God's Word is powerful. It's sharp. And it's alive. The problem with God's Word, this is the one problem with it, is you have to take the steps to put it in your life. It won't get in your life by itself. Funny how that works. And if you've neglected God's Word today, I want to encourage you. Get back on. Get back on that train. Start consuming it again. Go back to the buffet, whatever it is you want to call it, whatever works for you. If you got to get an app and listen to it while you're driving to work, if you got to wake yourself up. I was talking to someone the other day about our church, and they were telling me that their wife wakes up at a certain time every single day and eats breakfast and reads the Word of God and prays in one sitting. That is her time. Whatever it is that works for you. For my wife, it's while she's putting on her makeup and fixing her hair. She's got God's Word, and she's listening to God's Word, and she's studying God's Word, and I'll walk in the room, and I'll try to say something to her, and she'll say, "Okay, now get out. I'm trying to spend time with Jesus. It's not you time. It's His time." We've got to be consuming His Word. I need to shut up. Y'all stand up with me today. Who do I have on prayer team today? Let me see my prayer team folks today. Let me get all my prayer team people down here. Prayer team, I got a little more time today to deal with this. So here's what we're going to do. I want to make sure y'all spread out. Spread out a little bit. There you go. There you go. Hey, we've got these prayer team people down here, and they're not more spiritual than you. Well, some of them are more spiritual than me, but they want to pray with you today. And they are believing that God's going to do a work in your life today. They are believing that His Word is going to change your life today. So if you need prayer for anything, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to come down and find one of these people. If they're all full, come on down anyway, and somebody else will jump in and pray with you. I'll come down and pray with you, or Perry, or somebody will get in and pray with you. But if you need prayer today, don't walk out of this place saying, "I wish someone would have prayed with me." You take the opportunity and get it today. But why don't you bow your heads with me this morning before we call you down? Let's just pray. And let me just ask God to speak to our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask You to speak to our hearts and show us our lives. It says in Your Word that Your Word is sharp, that it will reveal our heart and our motives. It'll pierce even our soul and our spirit. It will distinguish between what we feel and what we know is true according to Your Word. And so God, today I just pray that Word, that living, active, and powerful Word would begin to penetrate our hearts right now. God, I pray that it would begin to show us and reveal things in us, God, that need to change. Reveal things in us, God, that we need to work on. Reveal things in us today, God, that we never knew. I pray for healing to fill this house right now. God, as Your Word says, that You spoke Your Word and brought healing and snatched us from death. God, I pray today that Your Word would fill our hearts. If there's anybody in the room right now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If there's anybody in the room that says, Gabriel, I need today to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I've held on to my own life long enough. I need to give Him my life. I need to make Him my, not just my Savior, not just somebody that saves me from my sins, but my Lord, my leader, somebody that's going to walk me through my everyday life. I'm not looking for a Sunday morning experience. I'm looking for a life change. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up and put it right back down. Let me see who needs prayer this morning for that first. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Let's just all pray this part of the prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I let go of my life and I submit it to You. Save me from my sins and lead me through every day of my life. I commit myself today to follow You on Monday and Tuesday, not just Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.